Morning Edition on WVIK is supported by Mercy One Genesis.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.
We are days away from the election, but many of you have already voted. Are the votes secure? And what can we expect on election day in the cities? The November elections, just days away, the campaigning will be over and the votes will be counted. Now, we've seen countless claims that you may not be able to trust those vote numbers. So we wanted to get some answers from the people who run the elections in the cities. I talked with the Scott County Auditor, Carrie Tompkins, and Rock Island County Clerk, Karen Kinney.
So Karen, let's start with you in Rock Island County. What are you doing to make sure that election night is safe and secure for voters?
Well, the Rock Island County Clerk's Office has partnered with the Rock Island County Sheriff, Sheriff Darren Hart. He's been very helpful in all of this, and he plans to set up patrolling in all of the areas. We will have a couple sheriff deputies on hand in our polling place that evening where they drop off the ballots. Also, at the 37 polling places, we would like to have, you know, that also patrol. At least it's a comfort knowing that they're close if we need them.
So it's more of a precaution. You haven't heard of any troubles that you're anticipating.
No, nothing.
Well, and Carrie, I mean, Scott County, what are your plans for how many polling places do you have?
So we have 66 poll sites in Scott County, and we do very similar. So we also partner with our local sheriff's department, work with Tim Lane, and then we work with all of our local police chiefs. And so we have rovers through the sheriff's deputies department, and they go and they do the same thing. They stop by all of our sites. So they're out there all day stopping by. And then we also have the, like I said, the police departments do the same. So we have people that are constantly checking in if we need something, if we have a question. If anybody has any concerns, then they're right there. So it's a great resource for us, and we're greatly appreciative.
Do you see historically that many challenges at the poll stations where a voter, I don't want to say gets out of hand, but says challenges the workers that are there?
Right. Really, we don't know. We've had a call, maybe there's a sign, you know, you can't have any political signs within 300 feet. So we get calls for that. But no, really, it's usually pretty quiet. And we certainly hope to continue that through November 5th.
And Karen, Rock Island County, I mean, are these mostly precaution, or are there worries that you've had in the past that you think could crop up again?
One of our biggest problems is people coming in all decked out in their political attire. I mean, the hats, the shirts, mm-hmm. the coats, the pins, and that's just not permissible. We will not allow it. So we try not to make a big deal of it. We very nicely ask them if they could just step in the restroom and turn their shirt inside out. And usually they're pretty cooperative. We've had a few people leave upset, but I think that's what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would you wear a political candidate's attire into a vote center? I don't, well, the law says that's against the law, mm-hmm. and we do enforce the law.
Let's talk about changes since the last election 4 years ago. I'm going to take even further back, because in the year 2000, the Al Gore election and George W. Bush, after that, major federal money going towards making sure that elections were operating more up to date, because some places were very old election ballot boxes and that. Everything has been updated. What have you seen since the last election, 2020, that's being implemented in 2024?
So I wasn't here in 2020, so but I can say since I started in 21, we absolutely have a lot of new changes. One of them is we have new poll pads for the poll workers. So they check you in. It's much faster. It's easier for them. So instead of taking anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, we can get them through in about 30 seconds. So that helps. Otherwise, some of the laws have changed as well. We do curbside voting from 2020. That was something that, you know, people were concerned about staying in their car and didn't want to be in the poll site with a lot of people. So we can have the public can go to any poll site and they call us and we will send a couple of poll workers out to their car and they can actually vote via sitting in their car.
Well, and this is a holdback from the COVID days,
correct.
Of course.
Yes. So that's something that has stuck since then. Yep. But people love it. So we do that quite a bit. In addition, I think some of the other changes, we have a ballot box. So it's a drop box that's in our parking lot. So via absentee, you get your ballot. If you don't want to put it through the mail, maybe you're too close and you're concerned about it getting to our office, you can come up to our office it's in the parking lot. Again, you don't have to get out of your car and you can put the ballot in there. And we check that 4 times a day, every day, including weekends and holidays. So people, if they're concerned about it sitting there and something happening to it, it is under camera and it's something that we get to, like I said, 4 times a day, we're emptying that. So those are just some of the changes. But I think everybody is pleased with those. They're all good. So obviously they've stuck around since COVID. So it helps us and it helps certainly get people through faster.
And in Iowa, you also need an ID.
Yes, absolutely. You have to have a photo ID or you can get a voter PIN card. And if somebody needs one of those, you can just call our office and we'll be happy to mail one to you.
And what if somebody doesn't have that with them on election day?
So then they can vote provisional. So you can either have somebody, if you happen to have one of your neighbors there that lives in your same precinct, they can attest for you. It's kind of they're vouching for you, saying that you are who you say you are. Or you can vote provisionally. And what happens with that is the ballot doesn't go in the machine that night. It comes back to our office. And then that voter has until the following week, it's Monday because of the holiday this year, it'll be Tuesday at noon. They can come into the office and provide verification. And then we can count their ballot.
Well, and Karen, what has changed in the 4 years in Rock Island County in Illinois?
Well, I can't boast about our equipment. Not this go around. I won't be able to lay claim to that till next year. We have ordered new equipment, but we thought it would be very foolish to try it out on an election this big. Mm-hmm. So we plan to start out with it in the municipal election next year. And we'll get used to it. We'll work out any bugs. Anything we don't like, we'll be able to work it out without it being a huge deal. Because right now, we're just not going to take that chance. One of the things we've changed, though, however, is our security. We've made many updates to our security. We have cameras everywhere. We changed locks. We've made a lot of things, improved a lot of things by security. We had a gentleman from the Department of Homeland Security come in and just survey what we'd done, and he said it was one of the best, the top 5 best he'd ever seen. So I guess we did a pretty good job on that.
There is a real fear election night of all the ballots being counted. And there are allegations, of course, you do
they
know.
They have to be counted.
Exactly. But I mean, so tell me that process, because I think some people think, oh, there's a box, they'll put it in a closet. But it's very meticulous what you do election night once the polls close.
Oh, are you speaking of loading them into the tabulator?
Everything like that,
yes,
sure.
Yes, we're allowed to load the paper ballots into the tabulator, but we cannot tabulate until 7 o'clock at the time the polls close.
So, like mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, you could put those in mm-hmm. ahead of time.
Yes.
You just can't hit that
right.
adding
can't
a button.
Just can't hit tabulate. Okay. We can't add. No, not till after 7 o'clock. You know, sometimes people are upset that we're not done till 9 or 9:30.
In TV, we are.
I know, because you guys want to get
out. We want to get on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but that's just not possible.
Right.
Because, you know, we can't do anything. Our hands are tied until, say, after 7 o'clock. And then sometimes we're still waiting on the election judges to deliver their boxes to us with the information in it. So, and sometimes they have problems figuring things out and getting there. And we've had people go home with memory cards in their front pocket, and we'll be waking them up at 10:30 at night. Hey, go check your pocket. We need that card. And they do.
But that's one of the things that voters might be a little concerned about, is that somebody would have a memory card that they accidentally took home.
Yes, we've had argument. Well, they can't do anything with it. It's just a memory card. It's no good without the equipment. We've had a few judges get in an argument one night, and we were waiting and waiting for that precinct to turn their stuff in, and we found out they were still out at the vote center arguing. So a lot of things can happen with elections. You know, elections aren't a perfect process, but we strive for them to be. And that's just about, you know, anytime you're dealing with people, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and Carrie, explain, the process isn't much different in Iowa.
No, so we also, same thing, in that you have to wait until the end of the day. So as voters vote, they put the ballot in the machine, mm-hmm. And it's tabulated, right? So you know that there's been 20 people there. And then at the end of the night, we also have the memory drive. However, for us, we have a rover from our sheriff's department. They pick them up and they bring them back to our office. So that way we know that that's secure and we have them sign for it. So that chain of custody is there. We take it back and then we load it into our machines. And so again, it's after, for us, we close a little bit later than you guys. So we're open until 8 o'clock. Have the same issue, right? Everybody wants to have that information as quickly as possible. With 66, some of our poll sites are a good 45 minutes away. It just doesn't happen. So it does take a little while. But once we get it, we load everything into the machine and then we get it online as soon as we can. So
explain to me the importance of, as you said, chain of custody, because there's always eyes from the time the ballot enters the ballot box until it's counted.
Absolutely, yes. So when it hits the machine, it goes in, and then again, it's all computed. It's put on that drive that you were mm-hmm. talking about. And so the drive is pulled from the machine from a poll worker, and it goes into a sealed envelope. They have to sign it and say, here's the information. And then it goes to one of our rovers, which is a sheriff's deputy. And then they bring that back to our office. And so again, then it goes into staff's hands. So it's one from the next, and you're right, there's a chain of custody, and that way we know where it is and who has it at all times. The other piece is then there's a report that's printed from that machine. So it's not just from, there's a lot of concerns, right, about the machines, mm-hmm. And is this and something is always accurate. Well, we have the checks and balances based upon paper documents. So we have the report that is pulled from the machine, and then we check that drive to make sure it matches the paper. So that way we can make sure that it's all accurate.
And that's so critically important, is to have that, you know, following the chain. Everybody knows where the ballots are. They're not in somebody's trunk at home.
Correct. No. And if they are, we're going to get them. We have.
Tell me, how much training do these poll workers have?
Well, they have a class. Some of them opt for the online class, but we prefer that they show up. Some of the older poll workers that have done this several mm-hmm. times, they really don't need the class. They know what they're doing. But some of the newer ones, we prefer that they come in and we'll work with them, you know, hands-on, even after the training class. We'll have them come into the office and we'll work with them on, you know, setting up machines and working with the machines and if something goes wrong, what to do. And we also, we stress, call the office. Don't try to do anything by yourself. Call the office and we'll walk you through it.
And tell me, have you had troubles finding poll workers this election?
We have not. We've been very lucky on the Scott County side. We started recruiting back in January, knowing that this is obviously going to be a busy year. So we wanted to be proactive and get that word out. And I'm very lucky in that the people in Scott County have stepped up, and we have plenty of help. So I'm really excited. In fact, at this point, if we have people that are interested, we certainly don't want to turn anybody away, but we're happy to put them to work for 2025. So we also have training, but we go through, they're 2-hour increments. So 2 hours to learn how the machines work, and that is mandatory in the office. 2 hours on just what to expect on election day. And then if you're a chair, then you have another 2 hours of training, specialized in how to open and how to close each site, so that way they know what to expect.
Tell me about your planning for this election. Mm-hmm. I mean, every election is critically important. You got to get it right.
Absolutely.
There's a little room for error, but it gets corrected at some point, and I want to talk about that in a moment, too. But how important is this election for you and your staff? I mean, you guys really had to build up to this November.
We did. So we began preparing for this election, I'd say probably 18 months in advance, as I'm sure you guys have as well, in that we kept getting told from all of our vendors that order ahead of time because of stock. People were concerned about getting enough envelopes, those kinds of things. So we started purchasing those items last year. So that way we knew we would have enough of all of those things. We also outsourced some of our things. So we did a collaborative effort with Empowering Abilities this past spring and summer, where they helped stuff envelopes for us, because we're expecting about 20,000 absentee ballots. And that has been huge. So our staff has greatly appreciated that. It was a great partnership. And we found going through this fall that's really appreciative. Well, we went through it in June as well. So we're just doing things differently, trying to be more proactive and get things ready, so that way we have more staff in the office. We've hired temps, again, just more training and those kinds of things. But we've been working ahead. You easily start at least a year for any big election, November election. That's typical. This one we started even more. So.
Well, and Karen, in so many ways, when you've done it so many years, you kind of blow the dust off the binder and go back to, but there's been big changes, have there not, since 4 years ago?
One of the biggest changes that I'd like to mention is vote by mail. And then on top of voting by mail, they added permanent vote by mail, which is a law. So it was upon us, it was our job to send out applications to vote by mail to every voter in Rock Island County, whether they wanted to vote by mail or not. And it's a huge cost, too. But it served us well to date. As of last night, I have 17,433 people that requested a vote-by-mail ballot. Now, they're not all permanent vote-by-mail. Some of them just said, send me a ballot for this election.
Right.
Yeah.
The pandemic really seemed to change a lot of people's opinion of voting, that they didn't necessarily have to stand in line or go outside in the cold. Mm-hmm. And that's a good illustration of that, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, you know, in spite of it all, I still see people that probably should vote by mail, but they opt not to because they're big on going to their vote center and running into their neighbors, running into their friends. I mean, it doesn't matter if they can barely stand up. They still want to go to their vote.
It's a social as well as a civic event. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who are worried that perhaps their vote doesn't count?
It's just not true. Same thing. We have many different options in Iowa, which I think is a great thing. So we have vote by mail absentee as well. Right now, our numbers are about 9,000. We're expecting between 20 and 25,000. And so people have to make that request. So they make a request. We send them a form. And then on October 16th is when we mail all those ballots. So those ballots get mailed. And again, you can either pop them back in the mail in a self-addressed stamped envelope, or you can drop them off at our office through the drop box that's in our parking lot. You can bring it into the office if you want to hand deliver it to somebody. You can also go to any of our satellite, which is early voting, and those start on October 16th. We actually have a record number this year in Scott County of 14 sites, 15 if you include our office. So we will be open starting October 16th every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, Saturday, November 2nd. And then we're going to have, like I said, 14 other sites throughout the county to give people an opportunity to vote. So we do have a lot of people that use the satellites because they like to go in person. It's still called absentee, but it's early in-person voting. And then we count all those same way with, they go through a different tabulator. It's a central count machine, still done by poll workers, still done by people that we know throughout the community, still party balanced. So it's a big process. And then those results are also ready about 8 o'clock on election night.
Then the last point that I'd like to make is that when you are reporting those and when the TV stations put the numbers up, There should be a little line that says unofficial results, and there's a reason for that. What is the next step?
The next step is we count those and we post the unofficial totals on the screen.
So that's election night.
Yes, yes.
Or election
morning.
And then
about 10 days later, we merge the unofficial totals with the late absentee. And they're not really late. Maybe everything's done at 7 o'clock. But maybe someone failed to mail it, get it to us in a timely manner. But the postmark says the official date.
Right.
And that's what we go by is the postmark.
And then you've got your Board of Elections. I mean, it gets verified at this point.
Certified. Then
thank
we
you.
Certify the ballot 10 days later with the official totals.
And this is really, and because this is in both Rock Island and Scott County, this is when you give the official numbers.
Correct.
And that's really, it's your chance to catch any mistakes, any errors, any tabulation problems.
Correct. Again, very similar. Ours is 7 days later for the same thing, a little bit different. But if there's a provisional voter, if there's a military ballot, that those still have some extra time to come in. Mm-hmm. We also have Safe at Home in Iowa. So if it's unfortunately a victim of domestic violence, they also have extra time to get ballots in. So those numbers, you expect that they're going to change a little bit. And that's why. So we, again, give them time to come in, we meet again, and then those also get certified by our Board of Supervisors 7 days later.
And so the person is concerned that, oh, Fred goes from polling station to polling station to polling station and votes more than once. First off, that's not a problem and it would be caught anyhow?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And it's caught because of the equipment that we use. Their name would pop up. So we get a lot of people that ask, well, what happens if I vote absentee and then somebody goes to the polls? Well, their name will pop up and it'll say, I'm sorry, thanks for coming in today, but we already have that you voted absentee. So no, all of that is tracked. So that's important, again, for the public to know.
Karen.
Can I comment on that one?
Sure.
I had opposition. He was running against me. And he would come in and vote. No. First, he'd fill out his absentee vote by mail, and then he'd come in, and he didn't want to surrender, and he wanted to vote.
I remember this, yes, I
know. Because he said he was running a test.
Right. And so being tested is still against the law.
And he got caught both times. He tried it twice.
Let's talk about, and we just have a few moments left, how important is it for people to vote? We have seen such close elections.
It affects everything we do. I mean, it's going to affect us hugely, I'm afraid. I can't get political on you here.
Right.
I couldn't anyway. It affects everything we do. It affects our cars we drive. It affects what we pay at the grocery store. Affects gasoline. It affects women's health care. All of our health care eventually.
And Carrie,
it may affect Social Security.
Sure. So I mean, the key is cast your ballot this year.
Absolutely. And again, I think in both sides, there's many opportunities. So if you don't want to leave your home and you know it's important to vote, you have that option. If you don't want to vote on election day, you have that option. You can come in different areas. But voting is very important. As Karen said, lots of things are on it. Crime, security, you know, we have lots of things going on in our country. So it is very important. And every vote counts. It's important. So absolutely for everybody to get out there and vote. And if anybody has any questions, call either one of our offices because we want to make sure people have the accurate information.
Our thanks to Scott County Auditor Carrie Tompkins and Rock Island County Clerk Karen Kinney. Mo Carter has been described as a multifaceted musician known for her bold, soulful voice and charismatic stage presence. She brought both to the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline to perform one of her originals. Here's Mo Carter with Crumbled.
Could be simply better. just like you knew I would, and I crumbled so beautifully, and I crumbled into the sea. So easy, oh, every time, not even trying, create a beautiful rhyme. If I had a sliver of what you possess, would it be easier for me to confess that I
Mo Carter with Crumbled, performed at Moline's Black Box Theater. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.